third destructive one to abandon is abusing or criticizing bodhisattvas or the Mahayana. Okay? So somebody's a bodhisattva or the Mahayana teachers, teachings, and we just abuse and criticize. Okay? And really denigrate a bodhisattva. And the reason this is so harmful is because bodhisattvas are working for the benefit of all sentient beings. So if we interfere with a bodhisattva's good deeds, we're really interfering with what's for the benefit of others. If we abuse and criticize a bodhisattva, we're kind of disparaging the good that they're doing for all the sentient beings. And so, of course, our own bodhicitta, our own altruism will suffer as a result of it. Okay, so it's not just a thing of, you know, don't criticize bodhisattvas because you're not supposed to. But it's really, you know, if we're trying to become a bodhisattva and do those kinds of deeds, and here is somebody who is and is doing them, and we criticize, then it's only impairing us from getting there because we're not respecting what we want to become. And if we don't respect what we want to become, we're not going to become it. Now, they often teach, when they teach this point, some of the lamas, that since we don't know who is a bodhisattva and who isn't, don't criticize anybody. Okay? That is very good advice. Now, the difficulty comes. Okay? And I'm saying this because it got brought up at the teacher's conference, and it's been a sticky point for me for a long time. You know, the question arose for me, okay, you don't know who's a Buddha and who's a bodhisattva, so don't criticize anybody. Well, does that mean, you know, and don't interfere with people's actions? Well, does that mean if I see, you know, John cheating Harry, that I shouldn't criticize John for doing it? That I shouldn't open it up and say, Harry, John's cheating you, because maybe John's a bodhisattva. And if I criticize, you know, I'm going to create all this negative karma and pay my own bodhicitta. Or maybe if I see two people on the street and they're having a fight and one guy's beating up the other one, that I should intervene because maybe one is a Buddha and he's just using these fierce actions to subdue the mind of somebody else. So does that mean I shouldn't intervene in that kind of situation? So what I'm saying is I'm taking what the lamas tell us and carrying it to an extreme issue. Okay, I'm posing that question. So it kind of came out in the teacher's conference. His Holiness said this great thing. Because he mentioned this. He said, you know, we talk about in the teachings not to criticize anybody because we don't know who's a bodhisattva and who isn't. So from that point of view, Mao Zedong could be a bodhisattva, and I shouldn't criticize. Okay? So from that point of view, you don't criticize Mao Zedong. But, he said, from the point of view of Tibetan independence and Tibetan religion, I have to criticize Mao Zedong, because he destroyed the country and he's threatening the existence of the Dharma. So, but His Holiness did. Is he made this really incredible distinction between what you hold in your mind and how you act in the world. So in your mind, you might hold Mao Zedong as a bodhisattva. And so you don't disrespect Mao Zedong from the depth of your mind, but from the point of view of the actions and how those actions are manifesting in the world and the effect they're having, you point out those actions and you criticize. Okay, so this whole thing has to be tempered.
Basically, you just criticize the actions and not the person.
Criticize the actions and not the person. But you don't have to be afraid to name the person doing the actions, too. Okay? And especially if you're doing it with a positive motivation, not a negative motivation. Okay, because that also came up to us, you know, like we heard these teachings, you know, don't criticize anybody because you don't know who's a bodhisattva. And then, I mean, this is the old days when I used to live in in the East, then maybe you go see Lama Yeshe, and Lama says, oh, well, I'm thinking of sending so-and-so to do this job at a Dharma center. What do you think of this person? Do you think they do a good job? Now, what do? Do you tell Lama the truth? You know? I mean, or do you say, well, maybe this person is a bodhisattva, and so I don't kind of say their mistakes to Lama, but Lama's asking me, but if I say it, maybe I'm breaking this. And anyway, it really comes down very much to your motivation. Because if you have the thing of, oh, well, Lama asked me what this guy's, what I think his job is, and now's my time, I can let out all my hostility and really get this, you know, get even. That's a really horrible motivation, okay? And that would definitely be breaking this. But on the other hand, if the guy really has made some mistakes, and you have some doubts about the, you know, their effectiveness in doing a certain job, then with a kind attitude, wanting to protect everybody in a potentially harmful situation, then it's okay to say that, you know, well, you've observed this person doing this and that in the past, and so you don't know in the future how predictable their actions will be. Okay? So it really hinges on your motivation. Okay? But what I wanted to get clear is that, you know, there has to be some commentary to this. Yeah. Right. That's a very good point. Yeah. Because we really have to see when we're criticizing an action or something that happened, if it was really so bad or if it's just that our pride was hurt because we would have done it differently and they didn't agree with our opinion. That's a very good point. Yeah? Yeah. And you can always say, it appears to me, okay, or it seems to me that what this person is doing is harmful, instead of this person is doing something harmful. Okay. Yeah.
Everybody, I've learned that.
I can tell that too. You know, just, it's like, whoever I'm with, I'm just looking for them to do something wrong, you know? And it's those times that I know I better do retreat real quick. Yeah. I'm like, this is an emergency situation. You know, can I make it until retreat time? Okay. And so the count to counteract that is the third constructive action, which is to generate the recognition of bodhisattvas as our teacher and to praise them. And that's really helpful because when we, you know, we recognize other people's good qualities, this one doesn't mean that you have to, you know, say, oh, well, that guy's a bodhisattva and I recognize his good qualities and praises. You know, it doesn't just mean that. It means, you know, any kind of good qualities that you see in people or people that, you know, seem to be like good models for you and good examples, to really praise their actions and to take their actions as a guide for you. Okay? Again, that doesn't mean idealizing the person, okay, or idolizing them. Doesn't mean putting them up on a pedestal and thinking that they're going to do everything perfect. Because when we think they're going to do something perfect, what we really mean is we want them to do everything we want them to do when we want them to do it. That's what perfect means. Yeah. So it doesn't mean idolizing anybody, but it means really recognizing people's good qualities, respecting those, and praising them. And if we can train our mind to do that, then instead of having this mind, like you were just saying, that's looking for the faults, it's training the mind that's looking for the good qualities. And the more we can see good qualities and respect them, then the more we're opening ourselves to develop those same good qualities. So that's why respect is a really important thing and why praise, giving praise to others is an important thing. Now sometimes people say, well, wait a minute, why should I give praise? Isn't that increasing somebody else's ego? That's not the point. Yeah. The point is that it's really helpful for us to learn to give praise. Okay, because it's very easy to give criticism, and it's a training to give praise. And this is one thing. Okay, to relate to this conference I just went to in Portland, one of the things we talked about was making I statements. And these are, you know, ways of communicating information that aren't just assertive and pointing out when something has gone wrong, but also when you give praise, to use an I statement. Okay? In other words, if somebody, you know, did something that you really admire, that really helped you, instead of saying, "Oh, you're marvelous." Yeah. Or, "Thank you so much, you're just terrific," or, you know, whatever it is. That doesn't really give anybody much information. Yeah? And especially when you're bringing up kids, to say, "Oh, you're good." You know, what does that mean to a kid? That doesn't give them any information. To tell somebody they're good or they're marvelous, it doesn't let them know what they did and how it influenced you. Okay, and how you feel about it. It's just this vague statement of something positive. So the I statements are really good when giving praise. Okay, when I was sick and you brought me vegetarian chicken soup, I felt happy because I felt cared for. Okay, you know, something along that line. You don't like vegetarian chicken soup? Okay. But what I'm getting at is, like, when you do that kind of thing, you're telling a person very specifically what the behavior was. You're telling them specifically how you felt and why you felt that way. Instead of just saying, "Oh, you're such a good friend." Okay? So, you know, and similarly, you know, it was children. You know, when Johnny slugged you and you didn't slug him back, you know, and you backed off and let him cool down a little bit, I felt really happy because it showed me that, you know, you were very grown up, or, you know, something like that. So you're telling the kid very specifically the kind of behavior that was beneficial and how it affected you and why you liked it. You know, I felt very happy because then I knew I could trust you not to get in fights and come, you know, and hurt yourself and hurt others. So, you know, when you praise others, really take time to do it well. Yeah? And not only just praising others to their face, but talking well about them. And this, again, sometimes it's really a training to do. Yeah? To get yourself to talk nice about other people. And especially, sometimes even when they're people that you don't particularly like, but they have done something that's really good. Yeah? To really overcome that part of us that doesn't want to acknowledge that there's anything good about this guy. Yeah. So it's really beneficial, this whole thing of praising, to train the mind in, you know, even though they may have done 10,000 things we don't like, to really point out the one thing that has been helpful. And not only point it out to them, but point it out to other people.
Why?
Why does it feel so good to trash somebody we don't like? I think this is just one hypothesis, is we feel that if we can make everybody else look bad, it must mean that we're good. It's this illogical logic that we use, you know? And I remember Geshe Nalandargi saying to us, because, you know, he was talking about idle talk, and he said, you know, you get together with your friend and you trash this one, trash this one, trash this one, trash this one, and at the end of your conversation, your conclusion is that you're the two best people in the world. Yeah. So I think it's because sometimes we're trying to get that conclusion. Yeah. But it's the wrong way to do it. Okay, so then the fourth one to abandon is acting not, the fourth thing to abandon is not acting with a pure selfless wish, but instead acting with pretension and deceit and hypocrisy. Okay, so this is like doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Okay, not acting out of a pure wish because you care about somebody, but because you want them to like you, because you want other people to look up to you, because you want to have a good reputation, because you want other people to think you're generous, because you want people to think you're wise, because you want approval. This is a big one for us, okay? Instead of acting out of a real, genuine wish and care and benefit, you know, and wish to benefit somebody, we do something kind, but basically because we want approval, because we're attached to approval, we're attached to praise, okay? And so this can often lead us to really acting hypocritically, you know, acting one way and thinking another way, you know. And remember when we went through the mental factors, we talked about those two mental factors, pretension and deceit. And one of them is pretending that you don't have the negative qualities that you do have, you know, really covering them up, doing a good job. And the other one is pretending that you have positive qualities you don't have. Yeah? So this kind of it's putting on acts, isn't it? And the thing is that we've been taught a lot in our society that doing this is what you're supposed to do to be polite. Yeah? You know, like, even you don't like that person, you do something nice for them, or, you know. So I'm not saying that if you don't like that person, go beat them up. Because otherwise, if you were nice, you'd be doing this one. But what I'm saying is try and change your motivation so that you can actually be nice from a kind heart. These are trainings and advice and precepts. It's not like breaking vows. Okay? But they're definite guidelines and advice and precepts. And when you do counteract them, they do have negative results. Okay? But it's different from the bodhisattva vows. Okay? And so the antidote to this is the second of the four constructive ones, which is to be straightforward without pretension or deceit. Okay? So to be honest and clear with people, and if we don't have a good motivation, then try and cultivate one. So being straightforward without pretension and deceit doesn't mean, you know, blowing up when somebody's ticked you off. Yeah, I'm being straightforward. I'm not going to cover up my anger and pretend I don't have anger. Anger, you're a jerk. It's not that. I mean, you can say to somebody, look, I'm having a big problem with my anger now and I need to cool off a bit. You know, that's fine. But, you know, try and to cultivate a good motivation when we're acting towards people so that we act sincerely.